970 WGTK. 970 WGTK gives you Let's Talk with Dr. Stan Frager. From relationship problems to family feuds, he's got all the advice and expert help you'll need. Here's Dr. Stan Frager.
Hi, welcome everyone. Always nice to have you with us. It's our Sunday night family. We meet every Sunday night from 8 until the 10 o'clock hour. And right now we're going to pick it up from where we left off with something very interesting. Because before I came on, you heard Les Naiman talk about the job market and what's going on there. And you're about to learn secrets your boss isn't telling you, how to advance your career, increase your productivity, and have more fun at work. Doesn't that sound good? We're going to learn from a guest joining our Sunday night family, Colleen Kettenhofen, about what employers look for and don't look for in potential employees. And I thought she had some really good common sense tips that you will find very helpful. And maybe you have someone in your family, child, grandchild, parent. Are you looking for a job? Maybe they just graduated, got a degree, and now they're going to be out in that big, cruel world. This is a neat little book that really gives them some great tips, and I notice where Colleen has autographed them, and for our first three callers, we'll have a complimentary copy of her book for you. The lines are open, and it has to do with experiences you've had in job interviews or what you're afraid of or looking forward or apprehensive about in terms of job interviews or looking for a job and what your experience has been. 571-0970 puts you right here with us. 502 area code 571-0970. And welcome. Nice to have you with us, Colleen.
Hi, Dr. Frager. How are you? Thank you for having me.
I am doing fine. In fact, if I were any better, I'd be a twin. I feel feeling too good for one person.
Good.
And so I found your book a neat collection. I mean, they're common sense, good ideas, but things you want to keep in mind. I particularly liked a couple things I hadn't thought about. Like one of them you mentioned was if you go to drop off your resume or your Vita or something ahead of time, dress nice because you don't know if that boss could walk out on you. Or there was a boss you cited in your book that said when people come to request an application, send them in. I'll talk to them for a minute. And if you're dressed kind of scuzzy, that's not the impression you want to make.
It's really interesting. I find more and more bosses are doing this, and I've been speaking for over 15 years in 48 states and 5 foreign countries, and you know, I pretty much go out and get hired largely to train bosses on how to effectively manage employees, especially dealing with conflict resolution or things like that. And you know, when the economy took a turn for the worse, I thought, you know, I've got this built-in audience all over the country. I would love to find out what do people need to know if they're going out on a job interview. And I said, you know, if I had a group of people here looking for a job, what would be some of the advice you'd give them? And you're absolutely right. A number of them said, and after I wrote the book, I heard it even more, where they wanted to know what you look like when you drop off your resume or pick up an application, even though so many things now are done online. A lot of times people will drop it off at the office or just come in just to say they wanted to find out if, you know, they've learned anything about if they might get an interview. And a lot of bosses also told me that they have the front desk assistant in on it. And they will say, look, if anybody comes in to drop off an application, you know, resume, whatever, jot down their name and jot down your first impressions. How were they dressed? Were they nice to you? Were they rude? And then a couple of them said, you know, come and find me no matter what I'm doing. Come and find me because I want to have 1 or 2 minutes with that person just to see what are they like when they're off the cuff and not expecting to be interviewed.
Interesting, because so much of it is done online these days. In fact, one of the adages I use in some talks I give as well has to do with, if you do what everybody else does, they don't need you. And so if everybody is applying, and a lot of HR departments want you to apply by email, I still encourage them to maybe still drop off one hard copy or go by just to see the business, see if it's really a good fit for you, if nothing else.
I agree. I do think that's important, and that was the other thing a number of bosses had said, is to weed people out. They'll take them around on an office tour or a plant tour, or if they're going to be working in a factory, or I know one of my clients, they have a very cold warehouse, and a lot of people are going to be working in that warehouse and, you know, frequently wearing thermal long underwear. And they said, you know, it's really interesting how many people are not as interested when they spend a lot of time, say, in the warehouse or in the plant, especially a lot of employers now, once they have it narrowed down, they want to bring somebody in for a half a day. And a lot of times they'll tell them, you know, be prepared, because if we invite you back, it's going to be for a half a day to meet various people. And they really want to have them spend time there to see, do they fit in with people? You know, is there chemistry? Do they give consistent answers? Or when they interview with different people, do they give different answers based on what they think they want? And more of them are having the applicant do a little bit of work. You know, it's all planned ahead of time, but to be there working for half a day just to see how that would work out.
Well, let's talk about one of the things that you start off with are some of the frustrations of bosses. So let's talk about some of the major frustrations of bosses.
Oh, boy, the biggest pet peeves. This part was pretty easy. This was chapter two, and I almost could have written a whole book on the top 10 bosses' biggest frustrations and why you must avoid these mistakes at all costs. Well, as you said, Dr. Frager, you know, there's a lot to be said for common sense, and there are some common sense tips in here. Having said that, as you also know, and as your listeners know, common sense isn't always commonly applied. Exactly.
Right.
And so the first one is common sense. The others maybe are not. The first one was certainly chronic attendance issues, absenteeism, chronic tardiness, or the person who shows up on time, but they don't begin work on time. And, you know, maybe for 20 minutes they're socializing and doing other things. But number two and three were so huge that they really could have been number one. And this was in conducting in-depth conversations with over 200 managers and supervisors, as well as about, I want to say, seven CEOs. I also interviewed for the book a senior vice president of corporate marketing with FedEx and an executive vice president with USI Holdings, an insurance company. So number two, drum roll, is negativity, subversiveness, the chronic complainer who doesn't have solutions.
Yeah, the kind of person that brightens up a room when they leave.
Oh, yes.
That kind of person.
Absolutely.
This is a true story, Colleen. I actually had a colleague. I just retired as a professor from the University of Louisville. And I had a colleague of mine. We're standing in the hallway at the university, and we're very, faculty are very pushed to publish articles and do research and bring in grants. And we were standing there talking about our research and some other things. And he looked at me and said, you know, this would really be a great place to work if it just weren't for these darn students. And he was serious.
Oh, my gosh.
He was serious. He looked at me. And it was like such a bother to have to teach. And it was like, you know, that's our main raison d'etre. It was
exactly
our main reason for being. And he totally didn't get it. And I think you're right that nobody wants to come to work and have a colleague who's constantly moaning and groaning about things.
They become like a cancer that spreads, and then the managers feel like they're everybody's babysitter or referee. And I have had some of them say, you know, they've got people who are working in customer service who can't stand the customers.
That's my fellow professor who can't stand the students.
And along those lines, number three, almost tied in with number two, was drama. The high drama employees, the gossips, the people who start the rumor mill, or I call them the water cooler instigators. They talk about, you know, they stand around the water cooler.
They love to start the rumor.
They're in the break room. It's the Ain't It Awful Club, you know, talking about how bad everything is, you know, rhymes with a witch in terms of what kind of
I understand.
Session it is.
We'll be right back with Colleen in just a moment. Secrets your boss isn't telling you. I'm Dr. Stan Frazier.
970 WGTK.
Calling Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine, Dr. Frager.
You found Let's Talk with Dr. Stan Frager. Dr. Stan Frager is standing by to give you insight on issues that matter most to you. Call now, 571-0970.
Okay, talking about things that the boss really isn't telling you, but that's common sense that's really important, and your experiences in job interviews and what's going on, we would appreciate that and have a little present for you. The lines are open, 571-0970. Puts you right here talking with Colleen Kettenhofen. And by the way, the contact information all about Colleen and her website and so forth can be found at Frager.com, tips from Tony and Dr. Stan. Again, we thank Tony Safina for that. So, Colleen, we were talking about some of those frustrations.
Yes,
people who brighten
up
the room when they leave. People who are start rumors. I mean, we have some in our own office, and they just kind of thrive on negativity.
You know, absolutely. They really do. And I call those people the pot stirrers. They have that desire for dissension and getting everybody all worked up. And also, you know, we were talking before the break about the high drama people, and they leave the same bitter aftertaste as the chronic complainers. And also included in high drama, what I heard a lot from bosses, and I hear this from employees, is the employees that talk about their personal life all day, every day. And, you know, these people are purposely trying to rattle the cages and ruffle the feathers of others around them, and like you said, they thrive on drama as if they want to hold court with other people and bring them over to their side. So I always tell bosses, you've got to nip it in the bud and really stop the behavior immediately, because what I find in talking with people, employees, and even managers who have bosses themselves, is what they've said to me is after a while it starts to become more of a negative reflection on the boss rather than the difficult employee, because people start to wonder why nothing's being done about it. So that's key. And another really important thing that I want to say while we're talking about the pet peeves is, and some of your listeners will really relate to this, many managers, supervisors, and team leads get promoted to leadership positions or management positions based on their hard skills or their technical skills. In other words, they get promoted because they were doing a great job. But many of the skills that got them promoted are not the skills that they're going to be using with this type of person. And so that's why it's so important for them to have training in how to manage these people.
Right. There's a big difference between doing the job and managing people to do the job. Those are very different skill sets.
Right. And a lot of times I'll say to bosses, you know, do you feel like you're running an adult daycare? Because they can be like your problem children. And, you know, certainly another one, number four, the person who's combative, challenging authority, lacking respect with the manager as well as the people that they work with. And as part of number four, not following the chain of command. So, and it depends on the issue, but if they could have gone to their boss and then they go over the boss's head, that is a huge issue. And the fifth biggest pet peeve of bosses really ties back into number one. What they told me was lying, especially on timesheets or regarding time, lack of integrity, dishonesty. So if they start to have a lot of excuses for why they were, you know, very late or absent, then really what bosses have said to me is it starts to be perceived as lying. Excuses in general was a big one. And then number six, and I think number six is going to be moving up the ladder in terms of biggest pet peeves, texting, excessive use of the internet at work,
yep,
for personal,
yep,
use, you know, spending time on Facebook, Twitter at work. That is huge, and especially, and this one goes without saying, when young people are bad-mouthing their managers by name on their status updates.
Yeah,
so,
like on Facebook or blogging or something. Yeah,
yes,
that's ridiculous. And just to go back to number five, the one you mentioned about being honest, and I told one of our staff, young lady on our staff not too long ago, about integrity is all about what you're doing when nobody's looking. You know,
that's so true.
What do you really do when nobody's around? Do you still work hard, get the job done? And there are some young people, I think, who forget that. It's kind of like a cat and mouse game. Well, gee, the boss isn't around, I can just screw off.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think about that myself, too. I've heard that phrase before. And, I mean, a small example, I was at the dog park this morning, and I was playing with my two rescue dogs. And, you know, some dog had pooped somewhere and somebody didn't clean it up. And I was behind a hill, so nobody was there or no one saw me. And I so easily could have not cleaned it up. And I thought, you know what, it's the right thing to do. No one's looking, but who cares? I'm going to clean it up. I'd want someone to do the same thing for me if maybe I, you know, just wasn't looking at the time when that happened.
And you have two rescue dogs. That's
interesting. Yes, I do.
I know they're using them down in the South right now extensively.
Oh, well, actually, I should probably clarify. They're not rescue dogs. They were rescued
dogs. Oh, rescued
dogs.
rescued dogs. Okay.
Yep. And as a matter of fact, I have a book coming out just in a few weeks on miracles that I experienced when I adopted or rescued my first dog.
Well, it could have been euthanized,
Joy,
if you hadn't adopted him, in other words.
Yes, she had only 2.5 hours to live, and she came into my life almost 1 year to the day after losing a baby, and it's an amazing miracle story. So that's another book coming out, Adopting Joy, Hope, Happiness, and the Healing Power of a Rescued Puppy.
Aww.
And I think that applies to the workplace as well. I did a chapter on navigating change and bouncing back higher. And when I ask employees, you know, what's a key thing that you want to see from your boss? And when I ask managers, you know, what's a key thing you want to see from your employees? Certainly for both in the top 10, somebody who is flexible and adapts well to change, especially in this economy.
There you go. We did a huge research study for Rand Corporation, and the number one quality that vice presidents and executives liked in their staff was that ability for their staff to adapt to change and to work independently without supervision. And it had nothing to do with keyboard speed It didn't have to do with filing speed, and all these things they normally tested people for had to do with using your head, being creative, working independently. And I think you're also a cancer survivor.
Yes.
We'll get back to that, and I share that with you. We'll be back to that and more. Colleen Kettenhofen, Secrets Your Boss Isn't Telling You, and the lines are open. We welcome your calls, 571-0970. And we'll see you in just a few moments. I'm Dr. Stan Frager.
970 WGTK. 970 WGTK. Let's talk with Dr. Stan Frager, helping you make sense of life's daily challenges and much more on 970 WGTK.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without cries. Now I want to understand.
Doctor, talking with Colleen Kettenhofen, and author of a neat book called Secrets Your Boss Isn't Telling You, How to Advance Your Career and Increase Your Productivity and Have More Fun at Work. And we're talking about some of the biggest gripes that bosses have. Colleen, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. And I think we got through about five of them, but what are employers looking for? You know, so many people are out of work. How do you distinguish yourself? So, as I said before, if you do what everybody else does, they don't need you.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it you're recommending that people do so that they have more opportunities?
Well, one thing that a lot of them said to me is they really want to know that the applicant has conducted a lot of research. For example, you know, they want to know that you've gone to their organization's website, even if they're very well known. And several managers reported to me how impressed they were that some applicants brought printouts from the organization's website and asked questions based on what they'd read. So most people don't bring, you know, a few printouts from the website with questions. So that was a big thing.
Along with that, you might want to consider also looking at a company's annual report. Most large companies, in fact, most companies are required by law to have some type of annual report. And that annual report will tell you the strengths and direction they're going and things that they're aiming for. And that can be very impressive in an interview, don't you think?
I think it can, because most applicants don't do that. So it kind of goes back to how can you stand out. A huge thing, of course, was they said to me, first of all, they've got to be enthusiastic. They've got to have that enthusiasm, passion, commitment, because if they're not enthusiastic in the interview, they're certainly not going to be on the job. And you've probably heard the old saying, enthusiasm stands for, if you look at the last four letters, IASM, it stands for I am sold myself. So they really have to go in as if they want that job and want to work for that organization. Another one that was important was the ability to problem solve. And a lot of employers said to me that somewhere in the interview, they will ask the applicant, even if it's a high-level person, they'll ask them a question where there's not necessarily a definitive answer or a right or a wrong. And they do it on purpose to see, does the person make the effort to think and to solve the problem? And they'll have some people who, you know, they'll just shrug and say they don't really know. They'll have other people who will, they'll act as if they know the answer, almost like they're purposely lying. And I like to say, when you lie, you die. And what they're looking for is somebody who's honest, who says something like, you know, I'm not sure, but if I had to guess, I would say, and then they work through what they think is the answer. So a lot of them will do that. A lot of them will ask them a question, totally random, just to see how they think on their feet. You know, describe for me your favorite sandwich, and, you know, describe for me the process of how you would make it. And I actually had a gentleman in one of my speaking engagements who said, you know, I didn't tell him that I was looking for somebody very detail-oriented. The smart employers won't tell you what they're looking for. They want to get you talking first, and you're better off to just be honest and not guess what you think the answer is, because down the road they'll look to see if your answers are consistent. So one guy said, I'd have my mom make it.
There you go.
And then
well,
they found
it's
out
an
he was
honest
living
answer.
At home.
Exactly. Tell you what, we've got graduating season coming up here from high school and college, and we're going to take a quick little break, and then when we get back, maybe you have some tips or advice for those graduating from high school or college to
sure.
help them in their job search. All right, Colleen Kettenhofen. Secrets your boss isn't telling you. I'm psychologist Stan Frager. This is our time together every Sunday night, 8 until the 10 o'clock hour. It's our Sunday night family. I hope you find these things helpful. And we'll be right back with you in just a moment.
970 WGTK.
Calling Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine, Dr. Higer.
You found Let's Talk with Dr. Stan Frager. Dr. Stan Frager is standing by to give you insight on issues that matter most to you. Call now, 571-0970.
Hi, and welcome. Talking with Colleen Kettenhofen. And we're talking about secrets your boss isn't telling you. And here's some tips for those who might be graduating this year from high school or college. How about some tips for them in terms of finding a job? Now, they say it's a tough job market, and yet you open up the classified ads, and there are hundreds, if not thousands, of jobs offered, or you go online, and you see thousands of jobs.
I know. I can't figure it out. I know my cousin's daughter just graduated from college, I think last May, and really had a tough time finding a job. And, you know, she was a great student, and she's got work experience, and you know, I don't know what that's all about. I will tell you, when I do training for managers and supervisors, or when I speak at associations, one thing that I hear from employers, and by the way, here's my disclaimer, because when I have young people right out of school in my speaking engagements, I find that they're energized, engaged. I truly find that they're fantastic. But what I hear from employers is that people right out of school, a lot of them are perceived as having a sense of entitlement.
Yep.
And not, you know, and not a sense of humility. So what they tell me they look for in terms of interviewing, and then once they hire somebody, is employers like to know that these young people have come up the hard way. They reason that if you've had jobs in high school or college, especially menial jobs, that by comparison, you will love this one. And they said it also shows a sense of humility. It shows that you're willing to pay your dues. And certainly it shows that you've got some work experience, because, as you know, it's not just aptitude and skill, but it's attitude. You know, employers really want to see that somebody's got the right attitude. A lot of them said to me, I'd rather have somebody who is low skill and high will. And also they look for certainly gaps in work history on your resume, and if somebody got laid off or if they had a job that was just for the summer before they went back to school, certainly tell them that. They also have said that they want to see that somebody's been in the same position at least a year. Now, I know of some people who are 23, 24, so a little bit older than students, and one of them said to me, oh, but, you know, each job I left was for more money, and he had, I kid you not, five jobs in 1 year.
Oh, wow.
And so I asked this of bosses in my speaking engagements, and they said, you know, I wouldn't hire him, because even if it was for more money, my feeling is if he did that to the other bosses,
he'll do
the same thing to me.
That's right.
Yes.
It used to be when you do more, you got paid more. Now it's pay me more and I'll do more.
Yeah.
That's that sense of entitlement.
And yeah.
That just doesn't work.
Right. So it kind of goes back to be considered an exemplary applicant or employee, recondition yourself to be solution-focused rather than problem-focused. And, you know, really be thinking, when I go out for that interview, how can I show them that I can make their job easier? And that's the other thing that I had a lot of employers say. In the back of my mind, when I interview somebody, I'm thinking, how is this person going to make my job easier?
Yeah, how are you going to help us?
Look better?
Right. And how are you going to help us? How are you going to do something noteworthy that will be of help to us? And yet you get people interviewing who want, well, what will the business do for me? I mean, by the second sentence, they're saying, well, tell me about your health care benefit. It's waiting.
Oh, yes.
We haven't decided what you want to do yet for the company.
Mm-hmm. And show that whatever you majored in, you really wanted that major and that you really want this job. Because they said another turnoff is when young people say, well, you know, I'm interviewing for this job because, well, my parents said that if I didn't major in accounting that they wouldn't pay for my education. So I had to major in accounting. And the person's thinking, oh, my gosh, this is so not the right person for the job. So That's important.
You conducted over 200 in-depth conversations with bosses. How about some of the shocking things you heard?
Oh, I think the most shocking thing, boy, it's a toss-up between two. And I apologize for my voice. I've got terrible allergies.
Ah, you're doing fine.
The most shocking, it's a toss-up between two, but both of them were said publicly in front of a number of people. One gentleman said to me, if I have a choice, if I'm interviewing somebody and it's a woman of childbearing age, I am less likely to hire her if I don't have to, because she knows that if she gets pregnant, she can do anything she wants and I can't fire her.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty shocking, because certainly there could be those rare people, you know, male or female, who are going to take advantage of the system. I call them the system workers. But I really believe most people have integrity and want to do a great job. The second thing was actually somebody that I met on an airplane sitting in the middle seat between a woman and I, and I didn't know who she was either. She was on the other side of him. He was a business owner, I would say 60-ish. And he said, if I can help it, I hire only men for the engineering positions, because if a woman is married, her husband is the breadwinner, so she doesn't really have the same pressures as a man. I couldn't believe it.
In this day and age, it's hard to believe you'd hear that.
No, and I have had male radio hosts in some cases who are the most shocked by it, you know, really angry. And as you probably know, Dr. Frager, studies show 30% of all breadwinners in a marriage are women.
Absolutely.
Which I think is
fine. Well, yeah, because we're finally getting back to more parity. I mean, can you imagine that women want to get paid the same as men for doing the same work? Can you imagine that?
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. What are we coming to? And so finally we're getting to parity, which, you know, should have been a long time ago, but we can't go backwards. But at least that is happening now. And with that parity, there's many more opportunities, and we need to keep going in that direction. We'll take a little break here in just a moment with Colleen Kettenhofen. And then I got a couple shout-outs to add on top of that and more. And so we'll get to all that in just a few moments. So first, a little bit of station business, and then right back. I'm Dr. Stan Frager.
Let's talk with Dr. Stan Frager, helping you make sense of life's daily challenges and much more on 970 WGTK.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears that I cried. Now I want to understand. Doctor, my eyes.
All right. Well, it's been great. I have some shout-outs and some good stuff to do and give a heads-up for next week. So I just want to tell you how nice it's been to have you with my Sunday night family, Colleen. And
thank you, Dr. Frager.
In closing,
likewise.
Yeah, how about a nice quote for us that stands out for you?
One that I really like, and this is in Chapter 11 on the chapter on change, is by Abraham Maslow. What is necessary to change a person is to change his awareness of himself.
Ah, yeah. It starts there. I agree, and it's been great having you with us, and I want to thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. So long now.